what we spoke. Whatever we make dua, we must say, Ya Allah, what is it in afiyat? Anything else anyone can remember?
We must oppose our nafs.
We have to oppose our nafs. In the beginning, it's very difficult. But as we go along, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah Pak's fadal. Also, we have to always make a plan to oppose the nafs. We must make it sound easy on the nafs. Like take, for instance, our ishraq namaz. The nafs will be lazy. We tell the nafs, it takes only 5 minutes, man. 4 o'clock will take you only 5 minutes. But look at the benefit. You will make me be making amal on your ilam. You are observing the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are getting the thawab of a hajj and a umrah. You are... All your work will be done easily during the course of the day. 5 minutes, you tell your nafs, now you must explain to your nafs. Only 5 minutes, you can't take out 5 minutes. So much thawab, all hajj umrah. Someone had to tell you, you're getting a free ticket for hajj and umrah. We'll jump. We'll be happy. But at the same time, are we sincere for going for hajj and umrah? Then why don't we want to read our ishraq namaz? Something wrong with us. Same with chash namaz now. Chash namaz is also... Namaz is the most difficult. وَإِنَّا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ Namaz is very difficult on the nafs. وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Seek help with Allah Ta'ala by with salah. Read a lot of salah. And you'll get sabr also. The quality of sabr will also come into you. وَإِنَّا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ Salah is very difficult except for that person who's got a fear of Allah. So after you read it, now it's very hard on the nafs. But you make the nafs understand 5 minutes is nothing. Come on. Then you walk maybe a little up, down. Even if it's 10 minutes after your ishraq salah, you can read your chash namaz. Chash starts 5-10 minutes after your ishraq. Although it's morning, never mind, read your chash salah. Or in between, you're walking, you know chash, you can read now till about 12:15. You'll get 5 minutes, man. I'm going for break. I have to make amal on my ilam. I will be punished if I don't make amal on my ilam. Let me read my 4 rakats. That is chash salah. I'll get a palace in Jannah. My health will be good. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, thumma alhamdulillah. Because when you read chash salah, for every bone you have to give sirqah. Nabi Sassam said there's 360 bones in a body. And the chash salah is sadaqah for all the bones in the body. Imagine if a doctor had to say, I give you a medication, and every day you must just have 1 teaspoon, on the whole you'll be okay. Every day I think we will take it. Yeah, you don't even have to pay for it. It takes us 5 minutes. Awabin, the same thing. You just explain to your nurse, there's nothing to be lazy. You get 20 years of ibadah. So, thawab. All these are, first of all, sunnats of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 20 years of ibadah for reading 4 rakat awabin. How long will it take us? We just go outside, we talk 10, 15 minutes is gone. Tahajjud, the same thing. Make our nafs understand it's one of the greatest sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. First it was farad, for tahajjud bihi nafilat Allah. Then Allah Ta'ala made it sunnah. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never missed tahajjud salah. You have to wake up, tell yourself. The shaitan will come with thoughts, but it's not for us. Why do you make it for us? Qiyamah's day, it is the sunnah that, inshallah, it comes in hadith. The name, it will be called out, Hurayt Tajud Salah, stand up and go into Jannah. No hisab kitab. Imagine if someone could give us that assurance. Take a great busuk, I assure you, you must come with me. Qiyamah, I'll take you to Jannah. And if for people who understand what Akhirah is all about, they will be very happy. And tahajjud salah depresses the nafs a lot. It is very hard. Inna nashiyat al-layli yashaddu aq. It is very ashad, very hard on the nafs. Waqwa muqila. And it is for the time of tahajjud. Waratil Qur'an tartila. We make tilawat of the Qur'an Kareem. Even if it is your yasin or especially making your dua. So we have to make the nafs understand. These are the 4. And we add one, because we are so weak, Allah Pak make us maaf. Say one, you can take a salatul masjid, or a Salatul Wudu, or a Salatul Hajat. So you've got five. Four, Tahajjud, Ishraq, Shash, Tawabin, and one extra. And you've got five Faraz Namazes. Five Faraz Namazes, I must read complete. Four Faraz, 12 you do read. Asr a little here, sometimes you get a bit lazy, but during the, you think the four Sunnat of Asr, Nabi Sas made dua for people who read the four Sunnat of Asr. May Allah have mercy on them. Seven Maghrib and 17 of Isha Salah. So, Qiyamah say the first question, did you read your namaz or not? First question. No one is going to move. First thing. Like how when we go for take a flight out of the country, then the first thing is not your luggage. You're not worried about the luggage. That is to do with the airline. First thing, you come to immigration and you got your visas. Open your passports. You can't go further than that particular stamp where that person stamps right. You are out now. So Qiyamah said the first step before now you even get towards Jannah when you're speaking is right. Let me see if your visa is right. Did you fill in the application form with the amal of your salah? The malaika will see and read. Yeah, all the namaz is fine. Right. Go forward. Next step now. And if not, we just stand and wait. First, we have to sort you out. Like here, no money can help. You can't say I'm a multimillionaire. So what? You know, check my chauffeur, check my car, check my house. I go to this country. They say, we are sorry. We need a visa from you. So we are very sorry. There was one very famous cricketer who was coming to South Africa. He took his children all, flew from Delhi to Dubai. In Dubai, when he was coming to South Africa, they refused him. He said, where's the unabridged certificate? He was very angry. You know, who am I? I'm playing for India. I'm like this, I'm like that. They said, leave all that. We need an unabridged certificate, sir. They are trained also to be cordial. He couldn't accept it. I'm so great in your one Muslim, very, very big doctor, is this a heart surgeon. She, in fact, attends to the king there in Kuwait and whatever. South African citizen. About 2 years ago, she wanted to, she said, let me just drop in for a few days in South Africa. She came with her children. Her husband was here at the airport. When she landed, they said, unabridged certificate. She married. They said, you don't have your unabridged certificate. You can't enter into the country. She kicked up her fuss. She said, you know, who am I? I just came away from the king of Kuwait. I was attending to him. And very famous, very famous. That immigration officer said, I'm sorry, I don't care who you are. I want to see the unabridged certificate. She kicked up a huge row. 2-3 days they kept her detained at the airport. She phoned her husband. They went quickly trying here. They went right up till the Home Affairs Minister. She's there. She can't come out. The husband can't go in. What I meant, eventually then, they even got a president of the country involved. And yet call a minister, and somehow at the end, they allowed it in after 3 days of being detained. The world has got its rules and regulations, and they are very demanding. Allah Ta'ala don't have rules and regulations. First thing on the day of Qiyamah is Salah. First thing before anyone. So the nafs is going to fight. The nafs don't want to read it Salah. Salah is very difficult on the nafs. When we stand in Salah, if you observe the method we stand, with our hands folded, we are subduing our nafs where the stomach is, etc. We are pushing down our nafs. There mustn't be power in the nafs. We are in control of the nafs. The nafs, the most hated thing to shaitan is Salah. That's why from wudu, the shaitan, his name is Walhan. What's his name, Rolo? When people make wudu, he come in, he talk to them. And people to talk to one another. His name is Walhan, Rasulullah said. In the time of wudu, he comes and makes people talk to one another. From there already he starts. Forget from there, from Adhan he already starts. How do we know this here? When Adhan is given, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the shaitan run away. He scoot, he run away. That's why you hear the dogs, we often hear the dogs barking at the time of Adhan. You see the shaitan's running away. So Salah is something that is very, very hard for shaitan to see anyone perform. We have to perform with the correct adab, the correct manner. Right, so we were yesterday speaking about opposing the nafs, and at the same time we were discussing about, what did you say? Izzat and afiyat. All our work must be done with izzat and afiyat. Make dua for people, make dua for ourselves. This dua, it's at any time. Innahu awwahum munib. Inna Ibrahim la halimun awwahum munib. All the time his heart is to turn towards Allah Pak. Turn towards Allah Pak. Sunday, I think it was, we were giving the story of Rabia Basriya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And how the blanket, and what did she say? I don't even have the blanket by me, and it's already such a big problem. Where's my heart going to be free for Allah ta'ala? Let it go. One very great buzruk. We hear Allah Pak give us tawfiq. We are far away from being like how they are. But at least we hear and we try and understand what is the heart all about. His name was Mawlana Ahmad Lahori Rahmatullah Ali. Very great buzruk in 1920-30. He was so pious that Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali mentioned he's like a rose. His tabiat was so delicate, like a rose. A person from Germany happened to meet him in Pakistan, and the German was so affected. White person, he accepted Islam. He took bed, and his whole life changed. And he was very wealthy. One day he turns around and he says to Mullah Lahori Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat, I want to bring in a vehicle from Germany for you, a Mercedes Benz. He's speaking about those days now, where there were hardly any cars. And I'm going to bring one specially for you. When I asked him, and what's it going to help? He said, it makes it easier for you to go. You don't have to go on a bullock or on a bus and all. And it will make, keep you more comfortable. When I said, and then what happens about the, they used to call it benzene. First petrol was known as benzene. What happens about that? He said, no, we'll go, we'll fill up the petrol. He said, one, and what happens when a part of it breaks? He said, yeah, then we have to fix it. Maulana smiled and said, and who's going to fix it? I don't know how the thing works. He said, mechanic? I don't think anyone here knows how to fix. Here, first time it will be, it was very new cars in Pakistan. He said, no, I'll call in a mechanic from Germany. And where's the mechanic going to stay? And who's going to pay this thing? And the part itself, Maulana said, see you, my friend. My heart is for Allah Pak. Leave it. My heart is for Allah Pak. I can't allow my heart to be fastened to a car in such a manner that every day you must go and fill benzene, and you must worry every once a month to get it maintained, and you have to get our whole life will pass in this year without we preparing for our akhirah. That's how people also oppose the nafs. That's how they oppose the nafs. So Ali radiallahu anhu was performing salah. When he made salam, suddenly he tore the sleeve of his kurta a little. Someone asked him, Hazrat, why are you doing this here? He said, no, it's new material. Whilst in At-Tahiyyat, my eyes fell on the kurta and my heart got affected. Such a beautiful kurta. So I tore it a little. My eyes mustn't go on it. The only beauty I see must be the beauty of Allah. You know that? This is the way people went about opposing their nafs. And we carry on with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's Malfus. The wisdom behind women outnumbering men. As he was giving the bayan, worry, stress, anxiety, everything that we take, anything extra, there's no doubt it's going to bring an extra problem. At least extra worry, at least extra time and diversion of attention from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to, it's natural. If you bring a whole tupperware of biscuits from home, your mind will be a little diverted, if not a lot. How many have I got left? How many do I take? Count the biscuits, who's going to share, who's going to ask, Who must I give to? Who mustn't I give to? Must I eat it at night? Rather leave it in the morning. There will be that distinct. And we're not saying it's haram. We are saying everyone has got their own tabiat. Some people, they feel very affected. They say, no, let go of this. One student was studying in Dioban. For 8 years, he never opened any of the letters that came from home. After 8 years, when he finished, he opened the letter. He's smiling. Next letter, he's crying. Next letter. Someone asked him, what is this here? He said, no, when I left home, my father, mother told me, but you go and learn Ilam. You know, they don't worry about friends. Don't worry about your family. You learn Ilam, you become a good alim for Allah's pleasure. Solid alim. And you must help the ummah. I said, okay, finish, I'll see you people after 8 years. In between, letters came from different people. I kept it in a box. I said, if I'm going to read it, it's going to disturb me. My mind is going to get disturbed. I won't be able to learn. Let me finish my course. When he finished his course, now he says, I read, this one got married, Allah keep them very happy. One died, Allah give him Jannah, three kulwallah, let me send him his sawab now. Someone is sick, I hope he didn't die. Let's see when one other letter may come, if he died or he never died. Completely threw himself into his studies. So the heart being diverted, certain things we can't avoid, but where we can avoid, we should try our best. So while Aziz was speaking about this, whenever a situation presents that it causes worry and anxiety, move quickly, remove away from it. You can't handle it, you say, sorry, go, I can't handle it. Go, whatever it's not wajib, it is not for us. MashaAllah, one of the principles in one madrasa, in the student, the parents bring the student, he tells him very clear, up front. I try him out for 6 months. If it works, otherwise no ill feelings, you have to take him. No fighting, arguing, etc. From the beginning. Even when I was here, rahmatullah ali, I know one person is of fantastic dream. He was a married person. He had problems with his wife. Then he told us, yeah, I saw this dream and I must come to Jalalabad to study. He was must have been about 30 years old. He said, Bordacha, if you want to, you come. He came to Jalalabad. First 2 months, he tried. After old habits, he was in a Hafiz al-Quran, as far as I remember. He started singing Indian songs in a boarding, and he was making a mess of things. I called him once, twice. I just saw. Chilling, and he come. Rather, you go home. Finish. You understand? So, Allah Pak keep us, that's why with fear of Allah Pak, and Allah Ta'ala keep us with hope from Allah Pak. Must never allow the shaitan to overpower us and think that I will be forever safe. May Allah save all of us. So some woman came while Aziz was giving bayan, and Aziz saw this someone with parda. The wisdom behind women outnumbering men. So Aziz now shifted the subject a little. Someone must have gone to attend to that woman. In hadith it comes, before Qiyamah, for every 50 women, there will be only one man. You can imagine how many women. In the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Only one man for 50 women. Only one person. How would the world, already it's looking like that. Cops stop you, it is. How many of them are women? Go to the banks, go to the shops, go. I would think it would be at least 50% women, 50% men. Before Qiyamah, it will be 90% women, 10% men. In a worldwide census, if a worldwide census is taken to the numbers of men and women, will the number of women be that of men or that of woman? He says, I do not know. This is also a special field of study. Someone can check it up. Is it more men or women on earth? Whether the number of women will be more or that of men will be evident from this, that Allah Ta'ala has given men permission to marry four women. At the end of the day, the Sharia is permitted. If they are able to do so with justice and fairness, adl or insaf, when this permission has been given to marry four women, Where will this extra woman come from? There'd be equal number of men and women. One man married one woman, one man. But then how Allah Pak gave permission? But that is also in under the situation or on a condition that a person can exercise justice in fairness. Today they want secret wives and they quietly go and make nikah. And there's no question of even being understanding what justice is all about, what fairness is all about. Then a person will be punishable, could be punishable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is apparent that the number of women will be more. This conclusion is based on applying the first principle of logic. This is a deduction. Otherwise, where will they come from? As he's using his logic, four women, one man. We have to mantik. He's using mantik. If there's four women for one man, obviously there will be much more women. Allah Ta'ala knows best. If for argument's sake there are 100 men and there are 400 women, then each man could marry four women. However, a condition has been laid down for this. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَوَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا. And if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with the orphans, then marry women who seem good to you. If you feel you are not able to deal justly with the orphans, the ayat starts from before that, about orphans. Then you get married, whom you like, and if you fear that you cannot do justice, then one only, or the captives that your right hand possesses, that is slave girls, in this way it is more likely that you will not be unjust. If you are unable to do deal justly, then only one for one, not even two. Four is even more far-fetched. Now, to live with fairness and justice, is it an easy task? No, it is very difficult. To live with justice between two wives, very difficult. Fairness and justice were not compulsory on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when it came to his pious wives. Despite this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam observed strict justice. Someone once came and said, "Do you think of taking a second wife?" And, you know, I told him, "By you know, Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he had two wives. When he went to the one wife's house, when he comes at the door, he got a stopwatch. He click it. Go in the house, he talk, sleep, eat, whatever. When he comes out now in the morning, he click it. Okay, he spends, say, 8 hours, 33 minutes in the house. When he goes to the second wife the next day, he clicks it, 8 hours, 33 minutes. Not 1 minute less, not 1 minute more. Who can do that?" When a person heard this, I said, "Yeah, you're still interested." He said, "No, jazakallah. I'd rather, because a person who's unjust to a, and he's got more than one wife, on the day of Qiyamah, he'll be dragging his half body. Half body will be paralyzed. He'll be dragging the half. That will be his punishment on the day of Qiyamah, that he didn't do any justice." People just jump. They have no understanding of what the fear of Allah Ta'ala is with regards to such things. Allah Ta'ala grant us all the right in the day of it. Inshallah, we'll get on.